All right, if you want to follow along in a Pew Bible, page 1498, we're continuing to journey with Jesus, and we're in Matthew chapter 6, if you're calling it up on your phone or other device, or if you're following along in your own Bible, Matthew chapter 6. And I've entitled the thoughts this morning, A Heart to Give. And of course, Matthew 6 is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And so let's stand together as we read through the first 21 verses of Matthew 6, as we honor God's word and read it together. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, this is your precious word, and we come to you today in worship and seek your encouragement and pray that your Holy Spirit will instruct us and encourage us. As we turn to your word, just open it, as we open our hearts to you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Last week we were speaking about an attitude adjustment from chapter 5 as we journey with Jesus. And we were looking at how Jesus was speaking to people in that beginning of the Sermon on the Mount about the blessed life. And it doesn't come from any of the things that we can attain. It comes from that precious relationship with him. And as we continue to journey with him and move into chapter 6 here, we see that he continues to teach about the heart. This chapter speaks to us about motives. And as you see as we read through it, each of these areas and issues, he's speaking about the motives of the heart. And he beautifully causes us to measure our lives not by human popularity, not by what people think or what people see, but by the motives of our hearts as Scripture reveals them to us. So as we journey with him and think about a heart to give, now when I use the word give on the platform, there's a certain nervousness that comes upon people, and there's a steady clutch on the wallet. So don't worry, just put your wallet back. And when I'm speaking about giving, it has a lot more to say than just about what we give financially. Let me begin by just saying that as we look at the words of Jesus here, in verses 1 through 4, he's teaching us to remember the importance of having the right motive. You noticed there in verse 1, he said, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Remembering the motives, Jesus speaks about the motives of the heart. It's not even just doing the right thing, but the reason behind that, that is in our hearts that we think about. Now, today, as we remember, certainly those who have given their heart and their lives as well so that we could have freedom. And that is no small thing and very important that we continue to remember all of those who have given all that they had so that we might be free. No greater sacrifice can be given than that. And I have an uncle, his name was Joseph McCandless. He died 6 days after the end of the Second World War. He was bayoneted in a prison camp in the Far East. And when it comes to remembrance, I remember that at 27 years of age, he had given all that he had to give so that I could have the freedom to share all that I know. Now, Jesus came and he gave his life to free us from sin and from shame. And our world maximizes those things, does it not? There is so much shame that people carry. A few weeks ago, I spoke to the counterterrorism officers of the RCMP, and afterwards, four people came to me and said, "I want to talk to you because I carry so much from the life that I have lived, and I think you could help me find release." And I said, "I would be so glad to meet with you. I can't help you find release, but I know someone who can. His name is Jesus." So as we think about this, really, as we pause and think about what Jesus is saying, it comes down to the fact that in life there are only two possibilities. We can either please ourselves or please God. We must make a choice. And that's really what he's teaching about here in the 6th chapter of Matthew's gospel, dealing with the motives of the heart and the choices that must be made. He's teaching it is right to give. It is right to do those charitable deeds. It's right to do what is right into people's lives. But we ought to do it to please God with no motive that we would get credit for it at all. You see, when you think about the choice there, I have to decide, am I doing that to please people? Or will I do what I must to please God? It's a choice. And salvation is a choice. Have you given your heart, your life to Christ? That is the most important choice that you can ever make. We have a heart to give, and He has the power and ability to fill it so gloriously, so beautifully, so wonderfully, so that life can have not only hope and strength, but all of the things that God has intended for us in the first place. Secondly, as we think about this text that we've read, we see that there is not only cause to remember that the motive must be right, but there is a responsibility. If you are in Christ Jesus, you and I have a responsibility to Him to steward everything that He's given. I smile sometimes. People say, I don't agree with the tithe. And they're shocked when I say, I don't agree with it either. You see, when we have a heart to give, there is so much more that we need to give to the Master of our lives and of ourselves. That relationship with God has so many blessings in grace, but it also has responsibilities. As a steward must be found faithful, says 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Faithfulness to follow through. You know, there is a tradition in the Middle East that when someone gives their lives for you, you must give your life back. And that is such a good thing as we think about what Jesus has done for us. A steward must be faithful. And here in Matthew chapter 6, there are four areas that Jesus addresses about being faithful to our responsibilities. One is giving. And I tell you what an absolute joy it is to be able to say, yes, I'm going to give. Hallelujah, the offering time comes next. I'm not reading a lot of enthusiasm out there. He speaks about giving. And the second area is praying. This is where we find the Lord's Prayer. But it is to be given out of a heart with the right motive. Not just a tradition to be repeated and repeated, but a heart that is right in it with Him. Third is fasting. And we don't hear a lot about that these days. But you see, you'll find prayer and fasting go together in Scripture. And the fourth is worrying or anxiety. I did not take time to read the second half of that chapter, but he addresses, don't worry. Look how the birds and the flowers are dressed. God dresses them. He will care for you. So as we think about the responsibilities, we are to be faithful to give. Well, what can we give from the heart? And here again are four things, very quickly. Time. A heart to give time to Him. You see, praying takes time. And I think that's one of the reasons why often it is neglected. And fasting takes time. And so as we give time to praying and seeking God and fasting, we begin to discover God's will and walking with Him in things. A second is talents. Now, there are all kinds of areas that we're great in. I could ask Pastor Shea to sit down at that piano and play How Great Thou Art. Do you think he could do that? Now, if I sat down at that piano to play How Great Thou Art, how would you feel about that? How about like I would? It's not going to happen. But you see, the talents that we have, we can give them to Him. There are so many ways in which we can serve the Lord and use what He has given to us for His glory. And, there are so many things I can't do. And I'm so grateful that in the family of God, He has a role for each one of us to play. And that role, my dear friends, is far more than an hour on Sunday morning. That role is to say, I'm going to please God, not just with my time, but whatever I can do, I will do. And He will bless it. Absolutely and incredibly. A third one is treasure. Uh-oh. Now we're getting down to dollars and cents. You see, we have in North American society this idea that we separate the spiritual and the material. But my dear friends, when you think about giving treasure, all from the right motive, God uses it in ways that we could never, ever understand. We spend $25 or $30 filling a shoebox, and a child somewhere opens it up and begins to look at a story about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit begins to work in that life. And we may never meet them, but I think about that day in heaven when somebody will come along and say, because you did that, I'm here. I think about the issues where just a pittance goes to something, and God uses it to bring someone to Christ. You know, there's so much I would love to say about that, but I'll give you a biblical illustration of what happens when we give out of a heart and the motive is right with Him. In Acts chapter 4, we read about Barnabas. He sold a field. He brought the sale of the field and he set it at the feet of the apostles. And the church used it to bless and to feed people. But Barnabas goes on to become an assistant to the Apostle Paul. Barnabas goes on to be one who takes John Mark, who's ruined, and he lifts him up and causes him to be someone who can get back in the fight because Barnabas was used by God. He gave from a heart to give. Contrast that with Acts chapter 5, and you'll find Ananias and Sapphira who sold a field and kept some of it and gave the rest to the church. Nothing wrong with that, except that really it was a lie. You see, the heart motive was shining through. Was it to please God, or was it just to show, look, we're just as good as Barnabas? Our treasures. You know, my Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. And when I have ministered in Peru, so often people will say to me in those churches up in the Peruvian mountains, out in the Amazon jungle, wherever I go in Peru, people will say, you knew Eugenio? They're talking about Eugene Kelly, who used to be a member of this congregation. You knew him? Yes. Oh, you must be all right if you knew Eugenio. And say, how did this church come to be? Well, because of Eugenio and others who came, Mr. Letourneau paid for this church to be built. Who was Mr. Letourneau? Letourneau was a man who built earth-moving equipment. And Letourneau was a man who discovered, if I give a tenth, that's okay, but I'll give 20%. But actually, the bottom line is, Letourneau gave 90%, and God blessed him. I didn't kick the bucket, just the shoebox. Now, we look at that and we say, there's no way I could give 90%. But I want to tell you something. Anything that I've given to God over the years, I've never missed it. And I've been so blessed to see people reached with the gospel because of it. There's a fourth thing, very quickly, and that is testimony. Yeah. In verses 31 through 34, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, sometimes our testimony is down, and we really can't say a word for Jesus because people can't see the difference that faith makes. They can't see the fact that when all those storm clouds come and the rain comes down and the cold and the snow and all of the tough things that can come into life, the failings and the brokenness and all of it. But what they need to see is Jesus in a heart that is right with him. And the faith that only Christ can give and bring. Thirdly and lastly, as we look at this text this morning, we see that it speaks about reward. Yeah, now we're getting to the good stuff. Count me in, Pastor, line me up. Who gets first? Yeah, we all want that reward. Those rewards that are spoken about here. And when the heart motive for giving, praying, fasting, and not becoming anxious is right, your Father gives an open reward. Let me share some of them with you. Assurance. I don't have to worry about where I'm going. If one of these three planes that I'm on tomorrow and Tuesday goes down, this old boy's going up. Assurance, peace. In those verses 33 and 34, when we seek his kingdom first, all things will be added to you. What a promise that is. Joy. Yes, even in painful circumstances, to be able to smile and say, Abba, God is still God. He is still on the throne. And no matter what, I know he is true. I know he will carry me through. His presence, bringing that sense of confidence. You know, in a couple of days, when I'm in West Africa, I'll stand there and look and say to myself, I don't deserve to be here. The only thing that I have to bring is word about a Savior and his presence that makes all the difference. Oh, I hope that you have given your heart to Christ and to surrender all of life to him. Look at the rewards that come, the power to overcome adversity and many other things. What kind of price would we put on any of those things? There is no material equivalent, is there? I remember visiting with an older gentleman over in Alberta when we were pastoring there, and he said to me, I used to work for the church. I was a treasurer. I used to be there every time the doors opened, but now there is nobody. Nobody ever comes to see me. His name was John. And I said, John, I'm going to read you a verse from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. And here's what it says. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love, in that you have labored and do labor to the saints. God will never forget. You see, the rewards may never show up on this earth, but this is just a short, short stint compared to eternity. Each life is a gift from God. We can use it to please ourselves, or we can use it to please God in every area of life, remembering the sacrifice that gives significance to how we live daily. Two quick illustrations, and I will stop. Have you ever seen the movie Schindler's List or read the book? I see Leighton confessed to seeing that. Nobody else has. Okay. There's a moment at the end of that movie where, as the Jewish people that he saved from death in the camps are sending him away, and the war has ended, he takes off a little pin, a little gold pin, and he says this, I could have done more. I could have done so much more. This might have saved two more people. I could have done so much more. And I hear in those words regret. And then I set in contrast the life of Dwight Lyman Moody, a man with a grade 3 education, who at the end of his life, lying on the deathbed with the family around, says, heaven is opening. This is glorious. Christ is coming, and I must go. And gone. And I hear in that no regret. So let me finish this sermon to you this morning in this way. What will it be for you and for me? Will it be that when we come to the end of it, there'll be regrets? Or will it be that on the 10th of November, 2019, I bowed my head and I bowed my heart and I said, Christ, please take it all. Which will it be? Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know our needs. You understand everything about us. And as we come to the end of this message, Jesus has been teaching us through his word about motives and a heart that we have to give. Yes, we can give some things in some areas. But Lord, this morning, would you stir our hearts afresh and anew so that when the time comes and we come to the end of the day, there'll be no regrets, simply entering into the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.